Lately, I've noticed that even the mere thought of having a long-term relationship with a woman feels exhausting. It kind of reminds me of that feeling I used to get when I had a chore that needed to get done, a big, giant chore, long-term chore, like cleaning the gutters or doing the final raking of the yard before autumn or before winter came. And then it dawns on me that I no longer have to empty the gutters or even rake the leaves. That my days of pursuing long-term relationships with women are over. However, in the comments and in my coaching sessions with guys, I am frequently asked, "What about me, John? Can I have a long-term relationship? Is there a positive way for me to engage with a woman that won't result in me losing half my stuff? And that I can have a fulfilling, satisfying relationship? What is it that 10% that have successful relationships have? How do they do it? How do they achieve that level of balance that allows them to continue to have a relationship?" That's what I want to talk to you guys about today. This is Life 2.0. Let's get into it. If you guys are regulars here, you know that my last few videos have been all about the pink mist, the simp industrial complex, and then how to resolve the effects of the pink mist. So I'm going to cover a little bit of that here, but then we're going to get right into the meat of this video. So for those of you who don't know, the pink mist is the biological and psychological impulse that we have to find and commit ourselves to women for procreation and for the idea that we need to be completed on some deep psychological level, that we're not complete without one, and that a woman is in some way a measure of our worthiness in the world. Of course, all this is bullshit. This is just some kind of a social construct. The simp industrial complex weaponizes that social construct against us, making us feel like it's even more important that we do it, that our lives depend on it, that it's the most important thing in our world, that it is our sole purpose in life to find, procreate, and satisfy a woman, to raise a family, and to make sure that we do anything and everything in our power to make sure she's happy. And they do this through music and through movies and Disney and TV shows and commercials. And they're constantly reinforcing this idea in our heads that men are just not good without women. That women are the stabilizing force in our lives. When that's absolutely untrue, and it is completely the opposite of the way things truly are. So now that you're caught up, let's talk a little bit about whether or not having a relationship makes any sense. Because I think it can, but it's going to take a lot more work than most guys are willing to put into it. And maybe that's why the thought of it makes me feel so exhausted. Because I think I have a pretty realistic idea of what it's going to take. And I just don't know, you know, like the guys say, if the juice is worth the squeeze. Because there's a lot of squeezing that's going to have to happen. I don't know if you're going to get a lot of juice out of it. Since the beginning of time, or at least civilization anyway, the idea of the yin and the yang, which goes back to Chinese philosophy, but then Carl Jung certainly picks up on it in his teachings and talkings and writings, that there is an aspect of the feminine in the masculine. So when you see that white half circle in the yin and the yang symbol, and there's that little black dot is the feminine. And obviously the opposite occurs in women, where the blackness is the feminine and the little white dot is the masculine. The reason I bring that up is that Carl Jung has a pretty good job of explaining how we end up projecting that feminine aspect of ourselves onto women. And I've certainly done this myself, and in reflection I can see how obvious it is. How there's some ideal version of a woman that we have in our minds, and I think that is some aspect of ourselves that we see reflected in women. And rather than it being a reflection, it's really more of a projection. It's us projecting onto them something that we think we need to be whole, that if we can identify and work with that part of us, we can find the complete part, the completeness of what it means to be us in this world. And it's an illusion. It's not something that is real. It's something that we fall victim to. A couple of years ago, I was on the dating apps, and I actually, this story starts shortly after my divorce. So I went on the dating app shortly after my divorce, and I saw this woman that I was immediately drawn to. I was immediately attracted to her. I could tell there was something about her that I could not fully explain that I was attracted to. So I tried to, you know, connect with her on the app, and nothing happened. And then interestingly enough, I would get on the apps once a year, just before Christmas, and I'd try it for a month or two, and then I'd quit. So the following year, I did the same thing. Same thing happened. But then on the third year, I tried it, and she responded to me. And we had a conversation, and we went on some dates, and things got hot and heavy. And things went off the rails really, really fast because she was Looney Tunes. She was crazy. I mean, she lost her temper about everything. There's a whole video about it. But as I reflect back on that relationship, her attractiveness was not something that was objectively true. I mean, she was an attractive woman, don't get me wrong, but she was not like a 9 or a 10 or anything like that. She was not someone that I would hold out the picture and say, you see how beautiful she is. But there was something uniquely attractive to me about her. That was what was so fascinating, is that I felt drawn to her for some reason. And I think Carl Jung does a pretty good a job of describing what that attraction is. It's that aspect of you that you see in a woman, or that you project upon her. Now, after that relationship ended, I realized that a lot of my childhood crushes, you know, like that girl from Fleetwood Mac, I can't remember her name, with the white flowy dresses, and then there was you know, so many other female artists from that time. Karen Carpenter was another one. There was Olivia Newton-John, Joni, I can't remember her last name. But anyway, there was this real hippie chick thing going, you know, and she definitely had that hippie chick vibe. She definitely had that hippie chick vibe. And since I grew up in the 70s, the hippie chick vibe back then was like the look that everyone was kind of going for. And I fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. Now, I don't know if that was something that my subconscious from being a child, you know, developed an attraction for, or if there was something deeper, even going back further, something deep into my consciousness. But in any event, I think that you have to have a very high level of awareness as you continue, or as you consider having a relationship with a woman, that there are aspects of you that you're not going to be aware of that are going to project upon a woman something that you can't explain, that's going to be an attraction that you are going to use as a justification to pursue her at all costs. And that is the danger of getting into a relationship without really having extreme clarity about what it is you want and why you want it. So when I'm doing my coaching sessions with guys who say they want to get into a relationship, I tell them that they need to create a written description of what this relationship is going to be like. What's important about this relationship? Why do they want it? That's the first thing. Why do you want this relationship? Explain to yourself what's important about this to you. And I think that prevents a lot of relationships right there, because as soon as you start trying to put into words what it is that you really, really want from this, it suddenly becomes clear that it's an irrational, you know, impulse. It's not something that you're thinking through. It's just some kind of a reaction to some set of circumstances, and you think that in order to become the guy that you need to be, that you need to have her. So you need to do that first. And I'm serious. If you're really serious about getting into a relationship, take some time and tell me why you want to have a relationship. And then number two, describe what that relationship would be like, ideally. I mean, just as a exercise, you know, hypothetically. What would be the ideal relationship? What are the roles that you are going to play? What's the responsibilities that are going to be had? What is the goal of the relationship? Is it about having children? Is it about having a marriage that goes on forever? I mean, what exactly is it? Once you get through all of that, I need you to start looking at an avatar for who this woman is. What are her characteristics? What is she like as a person? How spiritually developed is she? How intellectually developed? How psychologically stable? What are the relationships she has with her family? What are the relationships she has with her friends? What are her past romantic relationships like? What is she like with you? What kind of energy do you guys have between you? Is there a lot of humor? Is it a lot of lightness? Are you friends? Do you like her? Would you hang out with her? Would you watch football with her? Like, tell me what this girl's like, you know? Get really down into the details. Tell me all the things that you think that you need in a woman in order to have a healthy relationship, that relationship that you described earlier, you know? What is she like? Because if you don't know what she's like, you're never gonna find her. If you've ever accomplished a significant goal in your life, you realize that in order to get what you want, you must crystallize in your mind what that is. And that's why this exercise about describing your relationship and describing your woman is so critical. If you don't have clarity about what you want for yourself, you're not going to find it. Let me just say that again. Unless you know what you want. Now, you don't need to know every last detail. Like, you don't need to know what color her fingernails are. You don't need to know what color panties she's wearing. You don't need to know that. But you do need to know generally what kind of person she is. Like, what are the characteristics that you really, really admire in women that you want to have in this relationship? What is this relationship going to be like? What's it going to feel like? How's it going to be for you? What are you willing to give to it? What's your role in this relationship? What's her role in the relationship? You've got to crystallize this stuff, because if you don't crystallize it, you will never find it. Because what the world does is it continues to serve you up reasonable facsimiles. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to get exactly that. You're going to get something close. And even once you crystallize it in your mind, you're going to notice that you're going to get some reasonable facsimiles that show up. Girls that have like some of the stuff that you want, but not all the stuff you want. The next list I need you to make is a list of the things that you are not willing to put up with. This is your boundary list. This is extremely important because this is going to eliminate the vast majority of women. You need to be very, very clear that there are certain aspects of behavior and character that you are not going to permit in your life. And if you do not have this list, I guarantee you, you're going to miss it when it happens. You're going to miss the red flags. They're going to pop up, and you're not going to have compartmentalized this information. You're not going to have put it in a place where you can access it. You're not going to recognize what the problem is when it happens. You're not going to realize the significance of it, and you're going to ignore it. You're going to have that pink mist in your eyes. You're going to be all in love. You're going to be all euphoric, and you're going to ignore all the red flags. So you've got to have a list of all those things that you are not willing to put up with, that are just relationship killers. These are the relationship killers. What are you just not going to do? And then below the relationship killers have the boundaries. These are the things that you're going to make her aware of that are not permissible in the relationship. And you'll give her a couple chances to get it right. These are just behavior things, the way she interacts with you, about respect, about love, about the way she talks to you, whatever it may be. You're going to have these boundaries. And if she crosses the boundary the first time, yes, okay. You know, the second time, you give her warnings. You tell her, hey, I really can't have that in my life. I need this sort of peace in my life. And if I don't have it, then I absolutely cannot continue this relationship. She does it a third time and you say, this is your last chance. Like, if you do this one more time, this relationship is over. Usually, if you have to say it more than once, it's probably headed to the end, more than likely. But I think that giving her three shots to get this thing right, to build a habit, is reasonable. But if she crosses that boundary the fourth time, then you just need to walk away from that relationship. Anyway, so just to recap, if having a relationship in your life is important, is a goal, then you need to treat it like any other goal. You need to get a clear vision in your head for what this is. And the best way to do it is to force yourself to write it down. I find it's more powerful to actually write this down on paper with your hand, not type it up on a Word document. No. There's something magical about taking your thoughts through your hand and converting it to ink on the paper and holding that paper in your hands. There's something tactile, there's something powerful about it. Do it, just do it. Because then you can fold that up, you can put it in your pocket, you can put it somewhere where you can access it whenever you need it. It's always there. If you stick it on your computer and you save it in some file, you're never gonna look at it again. You know, you need to have this accessible to you on a regular basis, because you're going to be confronted with women, like I said, who are reasonable facsimiles. They seem a little bit like that. Like you squint and she's kind of like the girl that you had in your mind. And it's sort of like the way the universe tempts you. Like, how about this one, you know? You know, no, you can't fall for that. Like if you want, if you want butterscotch ice cream and someone offers you, you know, coffee flavored ice cream, don't go for it, don't go for it. You want the butterscotch ice cream. Hold out for the butterscotch ice cream. Be very specific. If you hold out for what you want, you will find it. You will find it. So let's talk a little bit about scarcity, because the scarcity mentality is real in terms of the way men respond to it in their lives. They believe that there is only a very small handful of women that they can connect with. And if they don't take the first one that comes along, that they're never gonna get another chance. And this is a terrible, terrible, terrible way to shop for anything, much less women. You wouldn't just, you know, go into a car dealership and, you know, the first car that you can qualify for, you just take it, you know? No, you wouldn't do that. So why would you do that with women, you know? Keep in mind that there are 4+ billion women on the planet. And you know, the world works in a mysterious way. I don't understand all of it all the time. I have to assume that there is some energy. I know that we create electromagnetic fields in our bodies, our hearts, our brains, and these electromagnetic fields must in some way connect to each other, and we must in some way send messages out, and we must attract those things that we want and desire in our lives. But they don't happen right away. It's not like you're a super magnet, you know, and whatever you're looking for is gonna find you right away. But I think you have to have a certain amount of faith that whatever it is that you're looking for is also looking for you. And if you have that mentality, then you're less likely to believe in a scarcity mentality, because it doesn't matter how many women are out there. If you believe that whatever you're looking for, the person you're looking for, is also looking for you, then you're not going to worry about tossing aside all these women that don't meet your criteria. You know, and just, you know, ignoring them or blowing them off or ending those relationships before they get too hot and heavy. Because you know that whoever she is, she's out there and she's gonna find you. That she's got the same kind of desires in her mind for what a relationship is gonna be like and for the kind of man that she wants to have in her life. And she's trying to find the match, and so are you. So I think you have to kind of go about it from that perspective. Psychologically, I think it makes it much easier when you're rejecting women and you start thinking, oh my gosh, what if I don't get another one as good as that? Because I think that's the fear that comes from breaking up with women or casting them aside or rejecting them in some way. And you can't do that. You've got to see yourself as the prize in this whole game. That we, for whatever reason, because of, you know, the simp industrial complex, have held women out as the prize for so long. We put them on pedestals, we do everything we can to get them, and then we sacrifice everything to keep them. You do not want to play that game. That simp industrial complex game is not going to work for you. You're going to have to change the game. You have to change the rules of the game and play it by your own rules. Because if you go down that path, you're going to be really, really, really disappointed. Your life is going to be adversely affected in ways that you would not appreciate. Let me just say this. If relationship succeeds, you're gonna learn a lot. You're gonna have a meaningful, healthy relationship, and you're gonna grow as a person, because you're gonna have to. You're still gonna have to make sacrifices. You're still gonna have to become better. You're still gonna have to evolve as a man to make that relationship work. It's not gonna come, you know, one and done and you're just all complete. There's gonna be challenges. There's always challenges. Resistance is part of life. Get used to it. Resistance makes you stronger. It's like lifting weights, you know? It's the resistance that makes you stronger. It's the healing from the resistance, from the exercise. It's the growth that comes from it. So don't fear challenges. Avoid clear traps, obstacles. avoid problems that are not within your ability to solve. So create an environment where you're most likely to succeed. That's the goal. Create an environment where you're most likely to succeed when you're with a woman. Do not buy into the whole damsel in distress bullshit. You know, do not find some woman that has tons and tons of problems and try to fix them. That is the path to disaster. So in my last video, as I talked about how to defeat the simp industrial complex, we talked about a handful of characteristics. The first one was the low self-esteem that comes from rejection. And I talked about how you just need to consider it an event. It's just something that happens in the world. Every failure takes you a little bit closer to your success. So consider that. Do not allow yourself to get into a place of low self-esteem. You've got to be your best cheerleader. You've got to be the guy that's always there encouraging yourself. You've got to keep the space between your ears, your brain, your mind as your sanctuary. And it can only be your sanctuary if it's a pleasant place to be. If you allow negative feedback and rejection to create an environment where you have low self-esteem and negative self-talk, and you start creating negative beliefs about yourself, then that space between your ears is not going to be a sanctuary. It's going to be a hell. You're not going to want to be in there anymore, you know? And I think that what happens with a lot of guys is they get into that hell. They create that hell in their mind because of all the negative aspects of, you know, pursuing women, that they will take any woman. They think that they can find a woman that she will some way heal this hell that they've created in their minds. And she can't, she won't, it won't happen. So don't expect it. That's not what they're here for. Next thing, what are they here for? Get clarity about that. What role is she playing in your life? And this kind of goes back to the relationship, goes back to the avatar. Understand that she is not here to complete you. You must be a complete man when you meet her. So the first thing that you need to do is you need to be the best version of yourself. If you think that you're incomplete, if you think that you are missing something, if you think that without a woman that you are not going to have a fulfilling life, then you are approaching this with the wrong idea. You've got to see yourself, like I said, as the prize. Like what you are bringing, what you are doing is you are offering another human being an opportunity to share your most valuable resource, your time, your life. You are already offering her your most valuable resource. Forget about money, forget about, you know, physical resources and all that stuff. Think about what's really valuable in our lives, and that is our time. And when you are offering your time and she's offering her time in exchange, that is the critical, valuable exchange that's really happening here. If intimacy, which I think is really important to men because it helps us open up emotionally and connect emotionally with women, if that is really a critical element to your desire to have a relationship with a woman, then you need to be really clear, not only with yourself, but also with her. And you need to be able to have the depth of relationship with her that you can explain to her why it's so important. You need to be able to look her in the eyes and say, you know, it's through physical connection that I develop emotional connection. And in order for me to have a healthy, strong bond with you that continues and endures, we need to have a healthy, intimate physical relationship. If you have a woman that can understand that and can see the value that having an intense physical relationship is, then you're well on your way to having a long-term healthy relationship. Now, the traditional exchange in the sexual marketplace is men providing resources for women providing intimacy. And I want to address that just a little bit because it gets into some of the legal ramifications. When you enter into a marriage with a woman, using that traditional exchange where a man is providing resources and the woman is providing opportunity for sex, sexual opportunity and intimacy, the problem is that the state can enforce your creating that stable environment, that those financial resources for her. The state can make you do that, but the state cannot make her provide you with intimacy. So think about that for a second. You can see how the delicate balance that's necessary for a healthy relationship gets disrupted when the state gets involved. Because now one party is going to have an upper hand on the other party. And if this person, for any reason, in some emotional state, because she's angry or upset, feels that she needs that leverage to get what she wants, and she decides to use it, well, now the relationship is headed toward destruction. Do you see what I mean? Like, if she's unhappy about a decision that you've made about your relationship or about your lives together, and she wants to get you to change your mind, and she throws out the word divorce, or she implies in some way that maybe she would go down that path, well, now it's over. The relationship is pretty much over. As soon as that word comes up, you better just brace yourself, because things are not going to get better. So what do you do? How do you have a long-term relationship with a woman that's committed and has some kind of legal structure to it that allows you to have children, to have a long-term relationship, the whole thing? The only way to do this is through legal contracts. And you're still taking a certain amount of risk here. You're still taking a certain amount of risk because judges can throw them out. And of course, I'm talking about prenuptial agreements. But this is not a one-sided prenuptial agreement. This is a bilateral prenuptial agreement where her interests and rights are represented as well as your interests and rights. And the desire that you have in this relationship is put into writing. What this contract does, is it creates the structure for the relationship, but it also creates a way for it to end. That is the critical element here. It's not that you're planning for the relationship to end, but no one plans that they're gonna die, you know, in their 30s, so you buy life insurance, you know? You're raising a family, you wanna make sure that they have the resources to continue on after you, you buy a policy. Well, that's what a prenuptial agreement is. It's an insurance policy. It basically outlines how the relationship will be dissolved in the event that it comes to that. That is the only way I would get into it. Now, a lot of women are going to push back on that. A lot of women are going to say, there's no way I'm going to get into a prenuptial agreement with you. And if that's the case, then she's obviously not the woman that you thought she was. She's not the kind of person that you want to have in your life. Because if she doesn't see the injustice that occurs in marriage and how men end up losing leverage and power within the relationship because a woman can employ the state to extract resources from the man, even though she's done with the relationship, then she doesn't understand the imbalance of relationships, and she's not deep enough or thoughtful enough that you should commit your time and energy to her. So, prenup is an absolute, absolute, absolute. You've got to have it. There's just no way around it. And if you go into a relationship without a prenup, if you go into a marriage without a prenup, you're going to have to deal with that imbalance when it happens. Having a long-term relationship with anybody is tough. My best friend from when I was 5 years old, we were friends until I was almost 40. You know, I haven't talked to him in 20 years. People just change. They just grow in different directions. They have different goals, different ideas. Their lives change. And this can happen inside relationships of all kinds. And romantic relationships, it absolutely can happen. The idea here is that if you want to go down this path of getting married or of having a long-term relationship with a woman, whether it involves marriage or not, then you're going to have to increase your level of awareness for your own psychology and how relationships affect you and what you want from relationships. You're going to have to increase your awareness for the kind of person that you're looking for, very specifically. You can't just go for pretty girls. You know, they're not all good people. You know, you're gonna have to get really, really clear about the goal of this. What do you want from this whole experience? I mean, what's really in it for you? You know, because it's gonna take a lot of work. This is an exhausting experience. Just talking about it is exhausting. This is gonna take a lot of freaking work. You're gonna have to become so much better than you are today, more than likely. more than likely you're going to have to become so much smarter, so much more aware, so much more intent on your objectives. You're going to have to become a better version of yourself if you're going to make this work. And then even when you find a girl, even when you find the right woman, you've got it all sorted out. You found exactly the right one. That's just when the game starts. Yeah, that's not the finish line, my friend. That's the beginning. That's the beginning. You're going to work your ass off to get to the beginning. And then from that point forward, the real job starts. The real work starts, because now you've got to make it work. And it's still going to have problems. Like I said, there's still going to be things that pop up. They're still going to require that you continue to grow as a man and evolve. You can't just throw your hands up and say, I found her. All's good. I win. No, you didn't win yet. You didn't win anything. You just started the journey. You just began the journey. And it's going to get a lot tougher from here. So if having a healthy relationship with a woman is something that you truly, truly want, that's the path that I recommend. That's why I talk to guys I do coaching with. That's what I tell them. You're going to have to get clarity. You better know yourself, better know her, and you better know what you want, what this relationship's going to be like. Because if you don't know those three things, you're headed for disaster. All right, you guys, that's all I got for you today. I certainly hope you enjoyed the video. If you want some coaching, you can go to my website at johnsgriffin.com, and you can even schedule a 15-minute freebie. I talk to a lot of freebies. They go a lot longer than 15 minutes sometimes. Yeah, if you need someone to talk to, definitely reach out. Anyway, till next time, remember, stay healthy, and if you can, stay single.